Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 5:15, and you are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tech, and I'm your announcer, and I will gladly turn the program over now to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Terry. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing pretty well. I think summer snuck back on us.
Yeah, for a couple days anyway.
Yeah, I hear next for this weekend it's going to get cold again. Everybody get out there and get your flu shot. I'm telling you, I think you're going to need it. I think I'm going to get mine. I haven't done that yet, but I believe I will. Well, I want to give you a couple updates. One, we had our day in the park this last Sunday and in Prospect. Boy, we had a nice turnout. A lot of young families. I'd like to thank you, Marion. We had some young families from Marion that came down and thought that, this is just a nice thing to do with their kids for the day. Didn't cost them any money. That hayride time was just, man, that wagon never slowed down. The minute he'd pull back in, they'd load back on and he'd take off again. And so that was a pretty active thing. And the games were everyone just had a great time, and the crafts they made. I think the kids were making kind of neat. They had them make cards, like a card you'd give someone. And they painted them, and kind of a cute thing there. And then they also made some kind of a little glow light that glows in the night. But the kids just had a great time, and we went through a couple hundred hot dogs and buns, and two great big roasters full of chili and desserts, and everyone just really had a great time, and it was just a really good time. Good time just to share in the community and with anyone that came. We had people that came from Marion, New Bloomington, LaRue. So there were people that came from all over the place. And, it was kind of neat. It ended at 6, and by 7 o'clock, we were cleaned up and put away. And we've done this long enough now that everybody kind of knows their place and what to do. So,
you got it down to a science.
Got it down to a science. We ended up not having our bounce house this year. But, it worked out well, and it was just because it was so hot. And those things get hot anyway, and it was blistering hot. And we decided, we're just going to not put it up. And we had enough stuff that they had fun anyway. They had a new game, and I can't remember the name of it, it's a round fence that's about 30 inches tall. And the kids get inside, and they play dodgeball, but they can only use their hand, one hand. And they have to hit from the waist down or from the knees down. And, to me that sounds like it wouldn't be much. Man, that thing was packed all day. Those kids had a blast. Now, some of the stronger boys, Barry, the fellow attending, had told them they had to use their dominant hand. They had to use the other one because they could still blast someone pretty good. But it was a good time. And I did want to certainly point that out, that we had a great time, and I appreciate all of you that came.
It's good. It's good to see interaction with something like that rather than like video games or social media, or something like that, where they could actually get out and do something.
And it proves these kids have a blast.
Yeah.
With just normal things. We had every year we have a, it's basically a big little baby pool filled with corn, shelled corn, whole corn. And little kids play in that. They have a blast with it. It's just something, that simple. It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, this weekend in Prospect, I know we have the fire department open house at Battle Run right there on Battle Street on the south end of town. And that, again, once again, we'll have free hot dogs. And boy, those hot dogs just seem to go in Prospect. But our youth group is going to be actually serving the hot dogs at the fire department. And they'll have the smokehouse there. Smokehouse is a neat thing for parents to take their kids through. It's a portable unit they pull in, and it simulates getting out of a house if it were on fire and there's smoke in it. The smoke hovers and just leaves a little room on the ground. And it's a fog thing they use to make it happen, and the kids crawl down low and learn how to get out, and that's a real good thing. And that, they'll have all the trucks on display and a lot of different things, and they usually have door prizes for the kids, and it's just a really great time, and it's usually very, very well attended. So keep that in mind. That's at noon on this coming Sunday. We'll be that open house, and I encourage you to look around town. There's always something going on that's not going to break the bank. Again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker, and I am pastor at Community Christian Fellowship. We are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, and Bible-obedient church that is at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number is 740-494-2222. Our website is prospectccf.com. You can go on there, and you can listen to... I have most of the messages over the last several months that are archived that you can go on there and listen to sermons if you'd like to. And again, you know, with here at WWGH, you can always go on their archives there and listen to the messages from the pastor spot. And again, we replay also at 3:15 tomorrow, the show replay, and then again on Sunday morning. So you can either have a whole lot of Pastor Steve or none at all. Just depends on what you want to do. But it's great to be here tonight.
I was going to say, from our standpoint, Adam's pretty good about getting the shows up pretty quickly. So I mean,
he is. He really is. He really is. Just scroll down. You might have to scroll a little bit to find me, but I'm down there somewhere. Just look at Pastor Steve in the pastor spot. And then again on Fridays, there's Over the Fence with Pastor Steve and Scott Spears. That has been kind of a fun show, too. So anyway, I just wanted to give you that, guys, that information. Tonight I want to look in the chat in the book of Ephesians. And as I read this, sometimes people immediately will have thoughts come to their head, some positive, some negative. But I'd like to explain it a little bit as I go through it and talk about, you know, as people, what we should do and how we should act and just in general. I've really had a burden on my heart lately for people to love one another and to truly do so. But in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Interesting that statement, isn't it? Children are great followers, aren't they? Mom and dad out there, grandma and grandpa, if you have a little one that's attached to you, brother or sister, man, they'll follow you anywhere. And they'll trust you as they follow. And, you know, it's just like when a father throws his child up in the air to catch him, you've seen him do that. The kids are usually giggling and laughing because they trust on their way down those hands have them. And I think that's a picture that I get when he says, you know, be followers of God as dear children. Because children follow with a great faith and with a great assurance. And sometimes we follow with a little bit of reservation. Like, okay, I want to follow God, but my backup plan is me. And he doesn't want us to do that. And then it says in verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." It talks in the Old Testament about a sacrifice being, you know, the sacrifices on the altar, the burnt offerings. Whether they were the first unblemished lamb or a bullock or whatever, they, you know, that sweet smelling aroma of giving it all to the Lord, of sacrificing to the Lord, and when Christ came, he gave it all, and he became the final sacrifice for all mankind, and you know. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed constantly. I mean, you know, go ahead and read back in the law, and you'll read about all the different sacrifices they had to do. But the final sacrifice that was ever made, that it had to be made, and it was the last one that would ever need to be made, of course, was Jesus Christ. And he sacrificed for man, for sin for all mankind. So that's not a necessity anymore. If someone's out there in their backyard and they're burning an animal on an altar and sacrificing to God, not only might want to check to see what's going on with them, but they're spinning their wheels, so to speak. Anyway, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let us not be once named among you as you become a saint." So what's he talking about here? Being unclean, fornication, living in a way, a sinful way.
I was going to say maybe out of not being married or something, maybe?
Well, not being married, doing things that you shouldn't with someone that's not your spouse.
Can I use this word? Maybe I don't know if I get in trouble, but maybe frolicking. Maybe is that what he's
Well, there you go. Frolicking can lead to things
to other things.
Exactly. Yes. Good point, Terry. And all uncleanness things. You know, when it comes to uncleanness, I think that we pretty much know when we're doing things that are clean or unclean, for the most part. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
And covetousness. What's that?
Does that mean maybe where you're not respecting him? I don't know.
No, covetousness means that Terry's got something and Steve wants it.
You're coveting. Okay.
You're coveting.
I got you. Okay. Yeah. I just hadn't heard it used in that term. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, basically, be happy with what you have.
Yes.
That's what God's given
okay.
you. And don't be wanting things that aren't yours that other people have.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
And then it says, let it not be once named among you. As you become a saint, so what he's talking about that, as you grow in the Lord, get rid of that stuff. You don't need it. And then he goes on and he says,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Terry.
No, I was just going to say, does he mean like material things or just things in general get rid of? I mean like.
Well, in that particular case.
I mean like, or people too, maybe that he's talking about. Get rid of those people in your life that.
You know. Clean up your act.
Okay.
That's kind of a broad spectrum isn't it?
Yeah.
But don't be wanting things you don't need. Don't be looking for things that aren't important. Look for the right things.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
But then he qualifies a little again. He says, but neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So is he telling us that we can never have fun and talk? I don't think so. But what he's talking about when he says that it's not convenient, in other words, if I'm going to sit here on the show or with my friends or somewhere and I start talking negatively in even maybe a jesting way about somebody where it's really not appropriate, it's really not going to have anything good come out of it. You know, you hear that scripture says that, a soft answer turns away wrath. You've heard people say if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. And basically, it's sort of saying, basically don't get carried away in that. And sometimes as a man, I can be in a group of men and talk will arise and maybe it's a little edgy. And if you're not careful, it can get to the gutter real fast. And then sometimes you even have guys going to the extent of saying things that someone else might want to hear to add to the conversation that may not even be true. And it's just, it's not healthy is what the Bible says. It says, but rather giving of thanks. Be a person that has a thankful heart and you're thanking God for what you have and for where you are and who you are in Him. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. You know, you think about that. It doesn't say, he didn't say that we haven't done those things. He talks about if that's the lifestyle that we choose apart from him. He says, why would you have any part of the kingdom of God when you don't want anything to do with God? People often say, I'm going to live like hell, but I plan on going to heaven. My question would be, why would you want to be in heaven? Wouldn't you be rather uncomfortable with saints when you choose to be a sinner? Think about that. How could you look forward to heaven? It reminds me of a joke I heard one time. A fella told me this that has since gone home to be with the Lord. Every time I ran into this guy, he was, Mr. Malaby was always he had jokes all the time. And this was a good one he told me a few years ago. He says, hey, did you hear the joke? He said a guy was, knew he was going to be short, die soon. And the devil came to him in a dream and he says, you're going to be dying soon. He says, you want to go to heaven with all those stuffy saints, or do you want to go to hell with all us wild sinners? And he goes, let me give you an example. And shows him a video screen of people in heaven, and they're just sitting around and being angelic and just boring as can be. And then he shows him this next screen, and it's a these people in hell, and boy, they're just laughing it up, having a great time, and just having this wonderful time. So anyway, he dies. And all of a sudden, he said to the devil, he says, I choose hell. I don't want anything to do with that heaven stuff. Yeah. So when he dies, he goes, ends up in hell, and, you know, he looks over, and it's hot, and someone hands him a shovel and says, start shoveling coal, and he's looking around, and he doesn't see anybody happy, and the devil comes up, and he says, hey, devil, I thought you said, he goes, oh, that's right, you saw my infomercial.
That's good.
And a lot of times that's what the infomercials do, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, why would somebody that didn't want to be in heaven want to go to heaven? So it says, you know, nor unclean persons, nor covetous, anyway, went on down, excuse me. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Vain words, vanity. You know, one thing that concerns me today in the world of being a pastor and the teaching of an evangelist, as people are called to be, is that we see a lot of vanity going on. And sometimes a lot of vain words, a lot of things that will puff us up and make us look good or make us feel good or make people think highly of us when they're empty. You know, there's no substance to them. Scripture says that in the last days and to be honest, let me clear up what the last days are. The last days began after Christ ascended to heaven 2,000 years ago. We've been in the last days. So when I speak of the last days...
So we're experiencing that right now.
We've been experiencing it.
Okay.
And have been for a couple thousand years.
Okay.
But it says that, you know, and much more so as we would come towards that time. But it says that, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let no man, for be not partakers with them, for... ye are sometimes darkness, but now are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Anyway, the Bible tells us that in the last days that people are going to have itching ears. They're going to hear things that please them. They're going to want to follow teaching that is the teaching they want to hear, not necessarily what God has to say. And we do see a lot of that. You know, we have the Heinz 57 churches out there today. If you want to live a certain lifestyle, go online. You'll find a church that will promote it. Matter of fact, wasn't it just last week? What state was that? That husband and wife were running for governor and lieutenant governor on their own, not on the Democrat or Republican ticket, but it was a separate ticket. And they got arrested for having multiple pounds of pot and all this stuff in their house, and what they did, they belonged to this church, the church that they had, that they're the head of this church. That's part of their worship, is they everybody gets high. Well, like I say, I mean, you're going to find, if you want to believe what you want to believe, you're going to find a organization out there that's a 501c3 calling itself a church that is going to fit the bill. The problem is, as we read in this passage, he says, don't deceive yourselves. You know, this is gonna happen.
Yeah, well, Pastor, take that one step further too. It's so easily now to get that kind of license on the internet. I mean, you basically, you could almost probably purchase it. I would say, am I right, mate? You don't even have to go through. You don't even really have to be one necessarily.
Well, I mean,
because aren't they doing like ordained ministers? You know, you can purchase a license or something.
Well, it's kind of hard. I don't know that you can purchase an ordination. You probably could.
Well, I thought,
but you can purchase a license.
Yeah, someplace in California or something was issuing these.
Well, any place says you can go online and you can agree to be part of the Universal Church of people with red hair or whatever, you know, and you can ask for a license and they will. Sign you up as part of their church,
okay.
And you can take that directly to the state of Ohio, and the state of Ohio will issue you a license as a licensed. But understand what a license does, first of all. The licensing process of any pastor, first of all, what's supposed to happen is a church that's a registered church with the state will issue you a license. And like my license said, you know, Pastor Steve Whitaker has been recognized as being a minister in the ministry of the gospel, and the church signs off on it. Okay. And then you take that to the state, and then the state gives you a license.
Okay.
And in that license, you're allowed to solemnize marriages.
Okay.
That's it. That's all a license is good for, is to solemnize marriages. And that's why most people get a license, is because, you know, their brother, their cousin, or somebody wants to solemnize marriage, wants to get married, and they want to marry them. And I think, to me, and I don't want to turn anybody off, but to me that's unfortunate, because in I take what I am as a calling from God and very seriously.
Absolutely.
And when people, to me, a marriage is a covenant between the couple and God.
Sure. And well, that's what my question was going to be, is that the state really doesn't care. Like, they don't recognize your they don't care what denomination. I mean,
they don't care at all. All the state really wants is to keep track of who's married and who's not.
I got you.
So that when it comes time for the divorce court, they see what legal standing is, or taxes, or whatever reason.
Right.
It's a tracking process. Now, ordination is completely different.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's churches out there issuing some form of an ordination paper. But in my case, let me explain how that happens. Most churches have some simple guidelines to ordination. Most associations do. Maybe they require X amount of schooling, seminary, one of the first things they have to do is be recognized by their peers as having that calling to the ministry. And then typically, once a church within that denomination will say, we would like to present this person for ordination, maybe your home church or your sending church, then you sit down with a board of examiners. And those examiners are usually made up of different pastors within that association, maybe some area ministers or directors or people like that, and you'll sit before them, and they will question you on whatever they want to question you on. And
is it typically like Bible, like to see how well you know the Bible? Or?
That's part of it, what kind of decisions you'll make.
Okay,
Doctrinal questions.
Makes sense. Okay.
And those kind
of
things.
So they're actually professionals in that field.
Right.
I mean, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you sit before a group of your peers,
okay,
and they do that. And then after you, when it's over, they vote on whether you're to be ordained or not. If you are then ordained, or to be ordained, then they set a date for ordination, and they actually have an ordination ceremony or service where the ordination takes place, and you're sitting out as pastor.
Okay.
So that's what I went through.
I got you.
And I would hope that's what most pastors go through.
Yeah.
Now, you don't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and a lot of times, I know our state president director, Jack Kwok. Jack is, of course, he's been to seminary and school and been highly educated man, but he started out, I think he told me he was 16. He lived in a little town down in West Virginia, and he became a Christian, and when he was 16, they had no one to preach. So he started studying his Bible and started preaching in the church. And once he was 16 years old, he was preaching. And that's just fine, because he stepped up and did it.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to, because we are to be good stewards of God's word and to know it. So he really took a lot on his plate. But he was responsible with it, did the right thing. And a lot of times when you get into areas like that, like Appalachia is a good area for that. There's a lot of people that are just rise up through the church and become the pastor, which to me, honestly, is fine. If they study and know the word, I'll tell you what, Terry, I know guys that are not pastors, that have never been pastors, that know the Bible far better than I do. They've just stayed a real student of Scripture and walked with the Lord and grown, and they just know the Bible so, so well. But they've never felt that calling to be a pastor. And it's great to have those people on your team. You know, it's great to have them in the church, people that you can, because it's very important for pastors to have confidants, people that can sit down and you can discuss things with them, you can lay things on them and get their feedback. You know, those are very, very important things. Just like Jesus, you know, had his disciples that he talked with and shared with. It's very similar to that. Being a pastor, there's not really much room for a lone wolf out there. And a lone wolf will soon find himself in trouble. You know, it's not a bad idea when sometimes other pastors will even sit in your congregation and critique you every now and then and pull you aside and say, I welcome that. But what I try to do before I preach any message is I try to pray and ask the Lord to guide what I say and give me the words that I need. Because on my own, I don't do well on my own. And when it comes to that, and I just think that we need to see more of that. There's a lot of grandstanding today. There's a lot. I call them the Abercrombie and Fitch pastor, and there's a lot of them out there. They got to wear the latest designer stuff, and it's more of a show sometimes than it is trusting a shepherd to preach the gospel and to love you and to love you independently as a person. You've got guys that are, I think you understand what I mean.
I sure do.
And the problem is that can lead to pride, and pride comes before the fall. And we see that happen a lot in that situation. And I would love people to remember what I say, but I could care less if they remember me. You see my point?
Yeah.
Man, please don't hold me up on a pedestal. Right. I'm in trouble if you do.
Yeah.
And
because you want your message to be more powerful than
absolutely,
yeah, yeah.
And some pastors, unfortunately, want to be more powerful than the message,
yeah, yeah.
And they want people to hold them up and
remember them, instead.
Remember them,
yeah.
And then you get into things like a lot of rehearsed sermons. You got people that are adding an acting ability to it and a drama ability. And to me, you know, it's I trust God at His word and what He says. The Bible says that His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And rightly dividing the word of truth. And if I use His word, I trust God to get it to where it needs to be without me needing to in some way put frosting and sprinkles on it to make it.
The word of kingdom I have is dramatized. You don't need to dramatize it anymore.
Yeah, to get people to accept it.
Yeah, right.
I think when the Holy Spirit works and God uses the Holy Spirit with people's lives and they hear the truth, it'll work. But it says, so there we get into where it says, let no man deceive you with vain words. That's just exactly what we were talking about. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But don't be partakers with them, for you were sometimes. Now listen to what he's saying here. He says, you, and he's talking to Christians here, to believers. He says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So he's telling them, all these things I just mentioned, these bad things, you guys were that. You guys did that stuff. And he said, don't do it anymore. Walk as children of light.
That's what I was getting ready to say. That was in the past, right? So he wants them to look forward to...
to a future.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing was acceptable to the Lord. So what he's saying is that the fruit of the Spirit, what we should desire to have, is that love, is that truth, is that decency that is acceptable to God. Not what's acceptable to man, what's acceptable to God. And, you know, as we've read in Scripture, that of everything, love's the most important. And I'm not sure that we all always show enough love. And, I mean, we're really becoming very devoid of love in this country very rapidly with everybody. And it really needs to... I think that... I really wish that... And I don't think they're going to do it. Maybe. I really wish that they would show more good things on our news and talk about more good things. I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, well, it's been several now, I better back up. I'm getting old. You know, as you get older, Terry, things kind of shrink again.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I was at the FFA convention in Louisville, Kentucky, with 50,000 young people.
Wow.
50,000 young people. And I went there 2 years in a row. And it has not changed since. When we go to our state, I think we got about 15,000 in our state convention, usually, that show up at the state fairgrounds. You go in there, and all these kids are wearing their FFA dress, their jacket, their dress nice. But there's a speaker speaking, and they do a lot of different things. But when it's time for you to listen, you can hear a pin drop. With all those minors in there, when it's time to say the pledge, they're on their feet. When it's time to sing, they sing. And I look at this, and I look at all these kids, and all these guys have supervised career projects that they do, that they're working on independently at home, whatever that is. Maybe it's in agriculture. Maybe it's not in agriculture. Maybe it's in landscaping. But my point is, what a positive thing to see 50,000 kids together, or just in Ohio, 15. And they're not fighting. They're not cursing. They're not protesting. They're not being foul. They're not calling each other names. They don't have to have guards to make sure that girls aren't molested or guys aren't molested. You never know in this day and age.
Right.
And the point is, I don't see it on the news. You know why? It's too good of a thing to report. And how sad is that? There's so much good that goes on. Nobody wants to talk about the good that goes on. We had a great thing in the park the other day. Nobody was searching that out to talk about it. Not that I want to, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. My point is, what a cool thing to go on. A lot of these things that happen and neat things people do. The other day, you know, a couple weeks ago, I know when Thunderbolt was on here, we were talking.
Yeah.
Thunderbolt Patterson.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, I was telling him some of the, how our association has the mud out teams that go into disaster areas and babysitting the kids and the food and the building and all the things they do. He said, I don't ever hear of anything like this. And no, you don't. Because the Bible says to focus on these things.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like that's not what gets the juicy attention. I've said this to someone a while back. I said, you know, I would love to see what would happen if there would be a new television station, new news station, and they would be called the Good News Station. And all they had on there was the good news that was happening in the whatever area it is they cover and in the country. All they would report was the good news. And people would say, well, that's, you know, your typical journalist would say, well, that's not fair. Because, you know, people need to know this stuff. Well, let me flip the coin on you. All you're reporting is bad news. That's not fair. Why aren't you reporting the good news? It's news, too. So see my point?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It would be lopsided to just report all the good news. But it's already lopsided. They're just reporting all the bad news. And rarely do they report anything good. I mean, every now and then they throw on a walk for the cure or something like that. But there is so much good going on. In mentoring programs, and so many things, so many people that could be interviewed to talk about things that children could get involved in and adults could get involved in. You know, there is something, we have enough good conscientious people in our society and in the churches that there's something for everyone out there. I mean, do you realize how many Celebrate Recovery programs we have in Marion County, which is for people that have addictions of all types,
mm-hmm.
from shopping to whatever. And that's what Celebrate Recovery is. It is recovering from whatever. They're out. You see signs out at some of the churches. Do you ever see it reported or talked about or how neat it is? No, all they want to do is put on the news that, you know, we need to support this issue or that issue, this can happen or that can happen. How about reporting some of the things that are already happening? You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And not just Celebrate Recovery, but some of the divorce recovery groups and
grief
counseling, all the things, they're out there, folks, and people need to be talking more. I want to see And I'm not going to talk about politics tonight, but I want to see politics talk about more positive things going on in their districts than focusing on all the catch and buzzwords. And that's all we hear about. Every time, half the time, it's the same thing, decade after decade after decade. And I, you know, and people, it's no wonder. I have heard more people say, and I always do, but just in the last week or so, oh, I'll be glad when this election cycle's over. I am so sick of these television ads. And you know, they tear down, and quite frankly, there's not an ad out there that doesn't have an element of truth to it. But I must tell you something. Do you know how Satan's the most effective? With an element of truth, right? That's how he draws people and sucks people into things. An element of truth and a whole lot of bad to go with it. And I think that that's what you see in political ads. They'll find something that technically may be true, but it doesn't show all the mitigating things with it. Or it doesn't show why that happened or what else they supported or didn't support. And it's across the board you see these things. You know, and people need to just sit back. I think that you need to find out the persons that you can go online and find this stuff. Find out their platform. You know, if you're a Democrat, go to the Democrat website and ask for the platform, Google platform of Marion County candidates for blah, blah, blah. If you're a Republican, if you're an independent or whatever, or ask for all of them for crying out loud. Think, discern, right? Mm-hmm. Think and discern for yourself. And quit paying attention to the, you know, the TV ads are meant to rattle you. Some immediately come to my mind, but I'm not going to say it on the air because it would just look like I was endorsing one candidate or the other. And I don't know the truth of half what's being said anyway. So anyway, back to where we were. How are we doing on time?
Boy, about 8 minutes.
We're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It says, so you were sometimes in darkness, but now you walk in the light as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And here's what's interesting. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In other words, you know evil things that are going on and nasty things that are going on. Don't sit around talking about them. You know, hey, did you hear what Bob's wife did? You know, check it out, man. That makes you as bad as she is. You know, don't talk about that stuff. Why even fill your mind with it? Know that it's wrong and walk away from it. It's basically what's being said here. And then it says, for it is shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So what he's saying? He's saying the light's going to shine on it eventually anyway. I always tell people that you know what? Don't worry about it. If someone has falsely accused you, has slandered you or whatever, and it was a hard lesson for me to learn as a young man, give it to God. Say, God, I can't do anything about it. When you go around trying to defend yourself, you know what it does? Half the time it makes you look guilty. And it does. I mean, you can deny an allegation and walk away from it. When it comes to God and say, I'm not even gonna get in this conversation. You know, I've given this to God, let him deal with it and walk away. Now that'll put a fear of a person that's falsely accusing you real quick when you just give it to God and walk away. But the light will always, the cream rises to the top. The truth always comes to the surface. Eventually, it may take a long time, but it does. And so let God handle that. And then it says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. In other words, rise up, get away from, raise up, look at the light, follow Christ, don't worry about all this garbage out there. And then he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, the day, it's bad. It's bad out there, but you take your time and make the most of it. You do what is right, regardless of what everyone else around you does. You do what's right. And with that doing right comes love, comes grace, comes understanding, comes tolerance, the proper definition of tolerance, which means that I may disagree with you, but if you do it, I'm not, you know, that's, you know, I'm not going to hate you for doing it, but you know what I mean.
But it's on you.
Yeah, yeah. Tolerance doesn't mean that everything you do is okay, that I have to agree it's okay. But redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many minutes we got?
4 minutes.
4 minutes. I got one verse left. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I get a kick out of that verse, kind of, because here's the deal. People get drunk with wine so they can escape. That's what it is. I mean, people get drunk to escape. And it's saying, you know what? Just be full of the Spirit of God, and you're going to feel great. You're not going to need to escape. That's what you need to be full of. You know, not things that take your mind off stuff. That you know, let God fill your mind, and you won't need stuff to blur your mind. Maybe that makes a good bumper sticker, right? Yeah. Let God fill your mind, and you won't need stuff
exactly.
to blur your
yeah.
mind.
Yeah.
But it's the truth. And I hope that you know, more pastors are teaching this today from the Word of God, because it's so important to understand these things if we're going to have a joyous life, a good life. A good life where we can go to our grave, and on our way to our grave saying, you know what, I did the best that I could. Not the, like the old song, I did it my way.
Yeah.
I want to do it His way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do it my way, because my way, I make too many mistakes.
Sure.
I fall down all the time.
Yeah.
Well, Terry, we're about to wrap up. We got 2 minutes?
About three.
About 3 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What have you got to say? Anything?
I don't have anything. No,
not a thing.
Not
oh man,
a thing. Yeah,
been a long,
like,
hot
say, just,
day.
If you want to give them your info, just get. You know,
yeah, sure. I mean, sure. Look, I want to tell everyone out there, I will gladly talk to you if you call me. I may not be there, but you can leave a message. The number is 740-494-2222. Our service times are Sunday morning. We have 9:30 Sunday school. We have regular worship hours at 10:30. We have a 6:30 evening Bible study at church. We also have youth group at 6:30. Team Kids starts on the 16th, folks. That's from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, ages 3 to 6, or 3 to 6th grade. And it's a nice little Bible time and game time. And
I was going to tell you, actually, as a matter of fact, there's a lady I work with that lives in Delaware. I think she's bringing her son to that.
Well, that'll be wonderful.
Yes.
Have her come, please. And really, all she needs to do
is Thursdays, right?
No, it's Tuesdays.
Tuesdays, okay.
They moved it to Tuesdays.
Oh, okay. I'll let her
and
know.
All she needs to do is come the first night, and they'll register him.
Okay.
And get all mom's information. And,
right.
And she can stay, or she can go shop.
Yeah, I mentioned that to her, and she said she was elated that she would be able to get away and do something for, you know, by her.
Absolutely. But no, it's a great time, and kids have a good time. I've never seen a kid crying to go back to mommy unless it's the first time.
Right.
You know. But.
Well, then she was going to mention something to a few of his buddies I'm not sure where they go to school, Buckeye Valley maybe or something.
Yeah.
And, so.
Yeah, we've got some kids at Buckeye Valley to come.
Yeah, I think she was going to mention something. I think that's where he goes to school. So.
Yeah. But we're at 209 East Water Street,
okay.
ProspectCCF.com. Love to see you guys. Come see us anytime. I guarantee you, you will find the church warm and welcoming, but not overbearing. You know what I mean? Now, a lot of people fear that. They want to be a wallflower for
and
a
the
short
main
time.
Thing. Come as you are.
Come as you are. Absolutely. Come as you are.
Because the big fear factor is I have to dress up, or I have to, you know.
Yeah, you don't. Whatever you have is fine. Absolutely.
Yes.
Don't come in a bikini, though. Or a Speedo, guys.
Right.
But come as you are. Hey, God bless you guys. Have a good one.
Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. From broadcasting legends Charlie